Well, I'll tell you what, let's turn in our Bibles then to the Old Testament, to Haggai. Haggai, you say, really? Yeah, there's a book in there. If you start from the beginning or the end of the Old Testament, so that's Malachi, and then before that is Zechariah, and then before that is Haggai. Just two small chapters. But it's a very interesting prophecy here, and there's something for us in it, as you might imagine. We're not going to read all this. Let me go right to the text that we're going to look at here tonight, Haggai chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. The key part of this verse 8 is this, build the house. Build the house. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I am indeed thankful to be here tonight. So thankful for the safety you've given us and really, really enjoy being here with our church in our home with our folks. This is the place, and we're really, really glad to be here. Father, tonight we ask you please to open the scripture, help us to understand what we're reading. Not only understand it, but to be able to do something about it in our lives, Father, that would be pleasing to you. We ask you to do these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, what's going on in the book of Haggai is this. Notice verse 1 says, of chapter 1, says, in the second year of Darius the king. Any idea where that puts us? I'll tell you where it puts us. Haggai is writing to Judah. He's writing to, in verse 1, Zerubbabel, who is the governor of Judah, and he's writing to Joshua, who is the high priest. And since it's during the time of Darius, here's the deal. Nebuchadnezzar has already come in and destroyed the temple. Darius has already come in and defeated Babylon, and now he is reigning. The Medes and Persians are in control. So the time of the Babylonian captivity has now passed. Jews have been going back into Jerusalem. We've had, you know, Ezra and Nehemiah, the building of the wall and those kind of things going on. And what's happened here is that the house of the Lord that was destroyed, the temple that was destroyed, is just still rubble. And so Haggai prophesies, first of all, to Zerubbabel and Joshua, and he says to them in verse 2, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. There's not time to be doing this. But in verse 3, the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? So you got back here and you moved back into your houses and you're taking care of yours. Why is my house neglected? See what the problem is? And then he says in verse 5, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. In other words, take inventory, they say today, about how things are going in your life. Verse 6, you've sown much and bring in little. That's contrary. If you sow much, you're supposed to bring in more. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. You clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. That's never fun. You ever felt like that sometimes? You bring home the paycheck and everything you brought home is gone and some? So that's why he says then in verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, go up to the mountain, bring wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Well, when he told them that in verse 12, they obeyed him. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. And so they began to build. And in the second chapter, in verse 2, Haggai speaks again. It says, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory. In other words, there are some people, they're ancient now, who were around and had conscious memory of what the temple looked like before it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And now they're seeing this house being rebuilt again. And he says, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? In other words, we say, man, today there's no comparison between this house and what we saw before. But the Lord encourages him in verse 4. He says, yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. So he says, listen, in spite of the fact that it's not as good as it was before, just do it, because I am with you. He says in verse 9, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. And indeed, during the millennial reign of Christ, that temple is going to be even far better than Solomon's temple, as good as Solomon's was. And then finally, he says here in verse 17, you know, before when you had trouble, I smote you with blasting and with mildew, with hail and all the labors of your hands, yet ye turned not to me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, is yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth? Watch what he says. From this day will I bless you. In other words, I stood against you before, but from now on, from right now, since you've started building that house, I'm going to bless you. And those things that you considered that were deficient are now going to be blessed by me, and I'm not going to stand against you anymore. Well, let me tell you something. There's great instruction in this passage of Scripture for us. You see what's going on here historically. You see what's going on here prophetically. But there's great instruction. Why? Because today the Lord has a house. And I'm not talking about this building you see here. The Bible tells us that God has a household of God. God has a temple of God. God has a body. They're all the same thing. When people get saved, they are put into the household of God. People get saved, we are the temple of God. But what we don't think about sometimes is what our function is with regard to that household. Notice here again in Haggai 1:7, he said, go up to the mountain, bring wood, and what do what to the house? What did he say? Go up to the mountain, verse 8 of Haggai 1. He says, go up to the mountain, bring wood, and do what to the house? Build it. Build the house. Do you know something? The house that God has today, the temple of God, has to be built. Keep your finger where you are and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. I don't think I recognized that one word in reading this passage of Scripture over and over before, but I see it now in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at verse 19. Now therefore, he's speaking to Gentiles that have gotten saved. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And are, what's the next word? Built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the, what's the next word? Building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye are, you also are, what's the next word? Builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Notice three times he uses that word. Built, building, and builded together. I never saw the word. I saw the temple. I saw the household of God. I got that we're not foreigners and strangers anymore. But I didn't see that it had to be built. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice this temple of God is mentioned again in verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the, 1 Corinthians 3:16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Now, some time ago, we did a study on the temple of God, and we noticed something. That we noticed that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, but together we are this temple of God. And so when he makes mention of it here, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, he's talking about all of us together being this household of God. Correct? Now, in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice this building process in verse 10. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, Paul says, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12. And if any man build on this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work should be made manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If a man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, yet but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Isn't that something? That just over and over, we're reminded as it concerns the temple of God that that temple has to be built. In other words, there is work that we, that's you and me, must do in order to build God's house. Now look what God said to the people in Haggai. Go back to Haggai chapter 1 and notice what instructions he gave to them about building the temple, and notice what implications there are for us in what he told them. What's the first thing he told them to do when he pointed out to them that you've sown much and brought in little? What's the very first thing he told them to do? He said, consider your ways. That's the first thing he told them to do. I was inclined to say go to the mountain, but that's not the first thing he told them to do. The first thing he told them to do is consider your ways. And when they did, it was obvious to them that there was a problem. They were sowing a lot, bringing in little, eating much, not having enough, drinking, not being filled with drink, clothing but not warmed, and earning wages, put in a bag with holes. God was not blessing their labor. As a matter of fact, as we saw in reading this passage, God was actually blasting them with mildew and standing against them. But after they began to build, that changed, and God said, from this day, I'm going to bless you. Well, consider your ways. I must say to myself in the mirror, welder, consider your ways. Are you similar to what these folks were doing? Are you sowing and eating and drinking and clothing and earning? I mean, is that the bulk of where we're spending our time and effort in our lives? What will we have to show in eternity for all this eating and drinking and sowing and earning and clothing? I mean, you know that's what's going on. You go down SPID, it's all about that right there. You go to France, it's no different. You go down the street and it's just lined with shops for clothing and eating and drinking. What do we have to show for all this in eternity? What are we, consider your ways, what are we doing to build that house? Now, I'm not just talking about sowing, and believe me, I love the fact that we're doing it, sowing the seed of the Word of God and seeing Bibles distributed. I was glad to see the folks that came from Fishers of Men last night. I'm thankful for that. But that's not building. That's sowing. And Paul said, I'm a master builder, and people build upon that foundation. So consider our ways. how much are we, all of us, doing to build that house? And the answer is, not too much. Not too much. Should we be ashamed of ourselves for that? Well, thank God He's not standing against us and blasting us with mildew and destroying our earnings and all the efforts that we're putting forth. I think God's been awfully good to us, don't you think? I think He's been really good to us. I'm very, very happy with that. But you know, the principle is the same. God has, there's a temptation on the part of men to get so consumed with our own lives that we forget God has a building. Our lives are going to pass away. Our life is but a vapor. The only thing that's going to survive this, what it was done for Christ, and particularly what was done to build in that building. All right, so the second instruction He gave them then was, go up to the mountains. Or go up to the mountain. Isn't that what He said? Go up to the mountain. Well, why would they go up to the mountain? Well, they would go up to the mountain because that's where the wood was that they needed to get in order to build a house. That's just a very practical thing. I wanted to make all kind of spiritual implications there. Go up to the mountain, separate from the world. Go up to the mountain, pray to God. Go to the mountain, get close to God. All those things probably have some implication here. But the fact of the matter is, the mountain is where the wood was. Okay? So that's why they had to go up there. And the truth of the matter is, we have to go where the building material is that is put into building the house. And the truth of the matter is, that mountain was not necessarily a very convenient place for them to go. I mean, where they sow is down in the valley. Where they eat is in their homes. Where they drink is in their homes. Where they earn their wages is in their businesses. To go to the mountain means I got to get out of my current element and go up someplace I don't normally go to go get something to build this house with. And I've noticed something about the building of God. We have to go out of our way generally to get the building material. You say, well, yeah, but the building material in the temple of God is stone, not wood. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 said if you build with wood, it's going to burn up in the fire. But you got to remember something. What were we before we were lively stones? Well, there was a man one time who couldn't see, and the Lord made clay and anointed his eyes, and when he opened his eyes, he said, I see men as trees. In Ezekiel chapter 20, the Lord's talking about what He's going to do to a lot of people who have rejected Him. And He says, you speak now to the forest, to the green tree and to the dry. I'm going to burn them all. And He's talking about men. Before we got saved, we really were trees, organic material. God saved us and we became lively stones. It was after our conversion that we became suitable building material for the household of God. But somebody had to go get those trees. Somebody had to go out of their way to a place that's inconvenient, out of the way, and make a special effort to deal with what was on that mountain. The reason we don't spend more of our time ordinarily in building the house is that we have to add this to our already great list of things that we do in verse 6. Our sowing and our eating and our drinking and our clothing and our earning. One of the things I was able to do while I was traveling is listen to a book on audio. That's great. You know, you're going to be 9 hours in an airplane. You got to do something, right? And this most recent book that I read was called AWOL on the Appalachian Trail. The Appalachian Trail is a trail that leads, depending on whether you go from south to north or north to south, from Springer Mountain in Georgia all the way up to Mount Katahdin in Maine. It's 2,187 miles, and this guy hiked the whole trail. There are many that have done it, but in order to do it at 41 or 2 years old, he had to quit his job and hike for 5 months. And when he got to the end of it, he was reflecting on the things that he experienced and what he learned and all that kind of stuff. One of the things he said is, I realized I could live with a lot less stuff. I don't need nearly as much money as I thought I needed to live. And all those awakenings you get when you live out of a backpack and drink out of a stream for 5 months, okay? The truth of the matter is we do spend an awful lot of time with the stuff and not as much time with the household of God. In order to change that, we have to, you see what I mean? Go to the mountain. Go where the building material is. All right, next thing he says is bring wood. He said bring wood. As I said, the temple of God is actually built with stone. We were wood before we got converted. And so that wood represents lost people. But you know something about it? That wood that's up there on that mountain that needs to be built in that house, it doesn't get down there on its own. Somebody has to go up there, chop that tree down, and haul it down. It has to be brought. Jesus said to his disciples regarding a feast that he had prepared, compel them to come into my house. Bring them in. We sing a song, don't we, Bobby? Bring them in, bring them in. Sometimes we get nervous about having to do this work and building the house because there's an expectation that we have to go out and get a lot of souls for Jesus. I've been through that phase of my life early on in the ministry. Think about this. If you were to participate today back there in Jerusalem when that house was to be built and they said, okay, Brian, you and Blake and Randy and Bobby, Joe, blah, 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 let's all go up there and cut down some trees, bring down here to build this house. How many trees would you be able to bring down on your first trip back down? About a half. Get two or three other guys to help you carry the log. But you're not going to bring more than one log at a time. And the truth of the matter is, in doing an effective work of building the household of God, it's pretty appropriate just to deal with one guy at a time. Effectively. Or even two with one. Effectively. Why? Because a lot of soul winning to me today is characterized by just simply going up to the mountain and cutting down a tree. Well, bless God, we led him to Jesus. Down he goes. When in fact what it should be involved in is bringing that wood. To do what? Haggai 1:8 says, build a house. Well, if you're going to take a tree and use it to build this house, let's just think about it for a second. Get the vision in your mind. We traipse up there, Mike and I are going up. Yeah, let's go today. You bring the skills, the still. Yeah, I got it. For that to be suitable building material, what's going to have to happen? Huh? Oh, there's a lot of things you got to do. Got to take the bark off, got to take the limbs off. Maybe run it through a sawmill, depending on what size of piece of wood you're trying to deal with when you're done with the thing. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, right? If you're going to build the house, God calls that work discipleship. That's what he calls it. Where limbs are stripped off, bark is stripped off, things are built. And you know the function of a pastor is to, among other things, edify the saints. You know what that is? That's that preparation work. That's that building work. That's getting somebody in the house. Paul said, I was the master builder. And you look at his writings and see what he did and the places where those churches were laid. No doubt he was a master builder. God used him in a great way. And God places each piece in that building right where he wants it to be. The next part of this thing says, this verse says, I will take pleasure in it. I'll take pleasure in it. Please God. The Bible says when that soul is brought into the household of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 or verse 18 says, God hath set the members, every one of them in the body as it hath pleased him. When you get involved in that building process, bring that wood down to the Lord. He looks at that and says, I think this would be a very suitable column. This would be a very suitable rafter. This would be a very suitable joist. And he takes that wood that's been brought to him that goes in that building and he says, this is how I want to use this piece. And he sets it in there as it hath pleased him. And the Lord said, I'll take pleasure in it. And then he says, at the end, he says, verse 8, I will be glorified. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And you're not your own, you're bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. God's glorified when we bring in much fruit. But there is a purpose in building this house. Now you say, why did you go through all this? Let me just give you a quick review of the points we've covered here so you can see the instructions to us. Number one, consider. Number two, go. Number three, bring. Number four, build. Number five, please God. Number six, glorify God. That's what's in the message. So why do you bring this up? I bring this up from this reason. As God has progressed in our ministry and shown us together what He wants us involved in, there's no doubt in my mind He gave us a seed sowing ministry called Fishers of Men. But Randy and I were talking the other day and I said, you know, the truth of the matter is, if a farmer only sowed and never reaped, if he only sowed and never saw a crop come up, after a while he'd get tired of sowing, wouldn't he? And I said, I believe there's another aspect of this, and we've been talking about what to do on Tuesday nights in Fishers of Men, because it's the same, virtually the same thing we do on Sunday afternoons with Fishers of Men. It's just that now we've noticed there's less and less people that are involved on Tuesday evenings because, I think partly because, it's the same thing over and over again. Partly. And in reading this passage of Scripture, it just jumped off at me the other day. There's a house that has to be built. And what that involves is going back where some seed has been sown and finding some people who are trees in the mountain that are brought to the house to be added to the building for the pleasure and glory of God. And so what I believe is that the Lord is moving us now in an additional direction, not changing what we've done, because you have to continue to sow, but adding to that the necessity of building the house. I was always convinced it was God that did that. God does give the increase. But a lot of that building work, according to Paul, was in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, is the work of people that are in the building. You say, well, why did you tell us this on Wednesday night? Why didn't you wait until Sunday morning to preach a message about this kind of thing? Because you guys pray over every aspect of this ministry. Most of you are involved in about everything we do in some capacity. And so this is the appropriate place to bring this topic, because I believe it's a direction that the Lord will purposely add to what we're already doing. I told Randy the other day, I said, you know, it's so easy with the radio broadcast and with the administrative requirements and with the telephone calls that are coming in and the people that need to be seen and hospitals that need to be visited to pretty much spend the rest of our ministry just maintaining what we already have. But I don't think that's what God wants. All those things need to be done, but from time to time we need to head up to the mountain, go get us a tree. Keep building the house. And you'll see that visibly here, because God will be placing those members as it pleases Him. In your midst, you'll see them where they get fit in the house, as we've been fit in the house together in this church. And that's a blessing. That's a blessing. Well, I pray this has been a blessing to you. So you say, what do you want us to do about it? What action would you like us to take? Consider your ways. Just ask yourself between you and the Lord, what am I doing to build this house? And be careful of one thing. Let me show it to you in verse 9 of Haggai chapter 1, and we'll be done. Be careful of this one thing. The Lord said to him after he gave him that instruction, he said this in verse 9, you look for much, and lo, it came to little. When you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. I say to you tonight, don't run home and go back to the same routine without considering your ways and asking yourself, what, Lord, should I be doing to build that house? Amen? Father, we're thankful tonight for an opportunity to see these things from the Scripture. We ask you, please, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to help us. I realize, Lord, this is very, very early in what you're going to accomplish with us. Nothing well formed here, just a Scripture that jumps off the page at us. Father, we pray that as you desire our labor in that mountain to bring wood, that your house may be built, that we'll be found faithful to do and follow your direction as you please. For we ask you to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.